Friday. Happy July 4th, everybody. 192nd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, the guy who's trying to ride herd on the Old Town 4th of July activities. Eureka City Manager Greg Sparks. Not that the city is sponsoring it, but you got cops, you got fire, you got public health, you got guys that are paying attention down there.
You know, we do, and quite frankly, I'm looking forward to being down there and for the 4th of July fireworks out over the bay. I've been to a lot of neat 4th of July type celebrations over the years, and I'm sure this one is going to be great.
Well, so. We'll see if the fog stays away or not. This afternoon, we'll start the conversation with shopping carts. I know it doesn't seem like a big deal, but if you've been in Eureka, well, you know that it's a big deal. So we'll talk a little bit about that and see what else the three-day weekend presents when we come back.
From your trip to Latin America, you are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:13. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Greg Sparks, but before we do, our quote this afternoon, let's see, comes from Lynn Bain, New York Times, 1984, quote, "People are tired of going out to expensive restaurants and spending lots of money for 7 pea pods and a 2-inch steak." Yeah, I think that's called the foo-foo stuff, huh? So what was 4th of July activities like in the Midwest? Because, yeah, you know, here we see it goes over water. Okay, fine. We don't have to worry about fire. Well, unless there's blowback, that kind of stuff. What was it like in the Midwest?
You know, one of the things we used to enjoy doing when we lived in Minnesota was going up to Duluth, where they shoot the fireworks out over Lake Superior. So, and in a sense, I think that'd be similar to here.
The lack of fog.
Maybe the lack of fog. Maybe more mosquitoes there.
Point taken.
But one of the things there, which I think is similar to here from what I understand, is, you know, you end up with that kind of bottleneck. You get all these people down there for the events going on, and only kind of so many ways in and out, so it can be take a long time to get people out of there. But I think anytime you can shoot fireworks out over water, that creates a neat effect. In 2000, my wife and son and I, we were at Mount Rushmore for the 4th of July. And
they shoot up from behind?
They shoot them from on top of Mount Rushmore, lights up the faces. Really.
Oh, that's got to be cool.
I've got to say that might have been the best fireworks I've ever been to.
Big crowd?
Huge crowd. And people started gathering early afternoon, getting their spot there at the visitor center. We came in kind of later, but still were able to kind of grab a good spot.
Yeah, that would be the ultimate tailgate party, wouldn't it?
I think it
was. Be there for a couple of hours, and of course the sun sets a little bit later that part of the country than it does. But yeah, you could just, you know, listen to a ball game, tailgate, and over Rushmore. That's
And I think
that's just so cool.
Yeah, they had the music going, and of course it was a fairly dry summer though, and I know they had a couple of small fires that got started, but the fire department was right there and getting into the back country to take care of those before they grew into
anything. I think Stefan might have a shot at that. He shared with Ange that they were, with his roommate, he's still in Nebraska, they were going to, they have a family event, his roommate does, in, he said South Dakota, and I think he said Mount Rushmore.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good place to be.
That would be, yeah. I wonder if there's anything that would rival, probably over New York Harbor.
Yeah, I imagine
that. You see that one on TV. You know, that one looks like it'd be pretty impressive. But, yeah, it's kind of cool that each region or each community has got a little something, if it's a smaller version or if it's a big boy version.
Yeah.
It really doesn't matter.
I was in the Telluride, Colorado area, you know, where I was town manager in Mountain Village up above Telluride. That was a great 4th of July, that you're shooting them off in the mountains. But I remember the one year, they were late getting started. It was pouring down rain, lightning all over. The lightning in the sky was about more incredible than what the fireworks were going to be. But I'll tell you, people love 4th of July fireworks, and they didn't just scatter just because there was a little lightning. They were hanging out under tarps.
Yeah, there's something about, I don't know if it's the color or if it's everybody's a pyro at heart.
That may be part of it.
We had a couple when Rob and Sherry Arkley were sponsoring some of the stuff at New Year's over the bay, and it was, of course, it's better weather then than it is now. But it was clear, and some of the big crowd. I mean, as big as 4th of July. It's just like everybody loves the fireworks, I think.
You know, I've been to those New Year's fireworks in ski resorts, both at Copper Mountain, Telluride. And I remember at Copper Mountain, it must have been right about zero that night. I mean, it was cold standing out there watching the fireworks, but then they did the torches coming down the mountain, and that was really neat, too.
Oh, very cool. So, yeah, and obviously the ballparks, a lot of the baseball teams do the stagger thing also. So
that's the problem for me in Minnesota. When I was there all those years, it was the Metrodome.
They
would actually do fireworks in the Metrodome, but, you just can't shoot.
Oh, really?
They did. Of course, then it creates this smoky haze.
That's what I was wondering, if the fans were big enough to be able to pull it out or not.
Not a great fireworks display there.
The venue lacked a little something. Huh?
It did.
Oh, is that something that a lot of cities do sponsor?
I think for the most part, cities have kind of gotten away from sponsoring the fireworks in the last maybe 20 years. I think it's become more of a, I know some of the areas I've been in, the fire department went out and raised the money to do the fireworks.
He's now holding his head in his hands.
But, Chamber of Commerce, business community.
That's more the routine now.
And I know in Minnesota, a lot of cities used to do the 4th of July fireworks with their lodging tax dollars. And then of course, they got sued for doing that because it didn't meet the requirements of state law. So, that seems like something that brings in visitors that you ought to be able to do. But, every place is different in that regard. But
every state Supreme Court has its own opinion.
That's right. That's
KINS, right. News and Information Time. It's 3:19.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take Two on KWSW three times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Eureka City Manager Greg Sparks. Greg, the Old Town Celebration is something that, 30 years ago, 35 years ago maybe, kind of started developing, and it's had its more active years and it's had its less active years. And is that the kind of thing that you see in the future for Eureka, that more can be done, and whether it comes under the umbrella of business development or tourism or feel good, happy, whatever it might happen to be, is that the kind of stuff that you're either formally or informally looking for to develop an essence for Eureka?
Yes, it is, both, I think, formally and informally. Certainly one of the main goals that came out of the council and staff strategic planning retreat here in mid-June was that goal of a live and tourism destination in Old Town. And the more activity that can be created down there, I think the better, and obviously in terms of drawing people in. So certainly things like the Saturday Arts Alive, the Thursday night concert series, different festivals, things that get going. Those things, they bring people to the community, they bring tourism dollars in, and I think the more that can be done to create, in a sense, that so people know that when they come to Eureka, that there's things going on, and that draws people and keeps them here longer than maybe just an afternoon.
I'm sure your retreat had a lot of things that we'll talk about. Thanks for reminding me. I just wrote down retreat. But when I look at Forth or Old Town, I almost said north of Forth, so I'll stay current. It's tough to find. If you happen to have really good eyesight and driving really slow, and there aren't any commercial rigs around, mm-hmm. you might see one of those corner things that says Old Town arrow right or Old Town arrow left, depending on whether you're north or south on 101. But there's no entrance. I know you guys haven't spent a lot of time on the coast yet, but Bandon has got kind mm-hmm. of like a baby Reno, the little thing, and you drive through it and that you're in Old Town. There are some places that you really almost have to work to find. There are others that are clearly signed. Was signage one of the things that was discussed? Because I know you got Caltrans and their right-of-ways and influences, and probably the Coastal Commission will nail you to the wall, too, if you try to hang a sign up. But those types of things that make it easier for people to remember or to even recognize that there is an Old Town.
Well, that's certainly when you tend to drive even through town probably a little fast on 101, although certainly...
Yeah, you're looking at the next light.
Yeah, you're looking for that next light. You've got traffic going on. If you're coming in the dark, it can be difficult to see those kiosks and learn. So it's almost like you need to know about it ahead of time. So I know that's certainly what you brought up is one of the things that Council Member Brady in particular has put together different ideas in terms of an arch over 101 that would direct people to Old Town. And so that has had some discussion at a council level. It does seem like some of the next steps are with Caltrans, determining a budget for something like that, where the money can come from. But more that can be done. There certainly is more that can be done to help direct people to both Old Town and the downtown area.
I got it. You know the things on the airplanes, those little lights on the floor?
Yes.
Yeah. There you go. Just take the right-hand lane.
Uh-huh.
Every half block.
And direct them that way.
Take it down, and then the next block, okay. Do the same.
or some type of trail of breadcrumbs.
The equivalent thereof, yeah.
Okay.
But I suspect it's a challenge also when you invite them and they come, what do they see? I know that kind of broaches into other topic areas, but that's got to be part of the challenge also, I would imagine. If you start to bring people down there, what do they see? Is it what you want to see as a city manager? Is it mm-hmm. what we want them to see as citizens and community members of the city? Or is it what they find now?
And it's I think certainly what you're getting at. It's a mixed bag of what you see. There's I think really good restaurants, coffee shops, bookstores, art galleries, that end. And then there's certainly the complaints we get both from residents, visitors, business community down there is dealing with the transient population, whether at times maybe aggressive panhandling.
Or passive.
Or just even the passive piece of it.
But the empty storefronts is another...
Yeah.
If there are transients around, okay, that's a different challenge. But empty storefronts, mm-hmm. that's a huge thing. I mean, if you go into an Old Town area and a third of the places are empty, are you really going to hang out that much?
Yeah, you need to have... you need to create that vibrancy, you need to have filled storefronts, and there's quite a bit there, but there's always more that can be done.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time. It's 3:35. We're back having fun this afternoon, this 4th of July afternoon, with Greg Sparks, the Eureka City Manager. Greg, we had a chance to be out of town for a couple of days earlier last month. And it was interesting, the area that we were at, there were homeless, vagrants, whatever. They were sleeping on the sidewalk. It was in an area where they could sleep comfortably overnight in lows of 70. But passive. Very passive. I mean, and unless they have a really hard, aggressive anti-panhandling law, yeah, they're sitting there doing whatever they're doing with a hat, you know, to flip the coins in kind of thing. About a two-mile strip, and we were walking back and forth fairly frequently for the days that we were there. One fellow was asking for change. Nobody else. Okay. So it was a different kind. It was there. It certainly was in the heart of the tourist area. But it wasn't like we experience here. Now, I was hacked off because they were there. You go on a vacation, you don't want to run into the same challenges you have at home. But so I kind of had a little attitude, imagine that, and would avoid a little bit. But it wasn't like you were having to cross the street to feel comfortable. It wasn't the rags like we see. It wasn't the, and for me, dreadlocks is part of, and I know it's some fashion statement for some, it wasn't the dreadlocks and the guys just kind of stumbling around and having the sleeping bags on them. It wasn't that kind of vagrant. It was a different kind of vagrant. So as you're looking at what your family, your buddies from the Midwest see when they come out here and visit their friends, or Mary's walking in Old Town by herself. Okay, so how do we play this one out? And say, okay, it's the same thing for the tourist, except this is their one time to get an impression in our area. How can you do something this tourist season to address some of these issues so that we don't lose another year of folks going back home going, oh, yeah, I was in Eureka. Don't bother.
You know, again, going back to that council staff planning session here a few weeks ago.
You're not going to say retreat? Council planning staff meeting?
Well, it hardly seems like a retreat when you're staying in town. You know, okay, sometimes say retreat, it sounds
not a getaway.
Maybe we went someplace, you know, fancy and expensive. We didn't do the retreat in Las Vegas. But
next year.
But there's a number of things that came out of that. I mean, certainly there's those longer-term goals of how you deal with housing and so on. But in the short term, there's some of those enforcement types of issues that we really want to make a dent in. Stronger panhandling ordinance. But the other thing, too, is a shopping cart ordinance. And I can tell you this, but the city attorney has drafted a shopping cart ordinance. It's been reviewed by police department and other city departments. And as of this week, we've sent it out to our large retailers, the Costcos, the Walmarts.
The guys who have shopping carts?
Because those that have shopping carts. Because we've identified, you know, this is abandoned shopping carts on private property, public property, along the trails. I saw one with its wheels off in the street the other day. They're a blight, and they're a nuisance, and they're an expense to business to lose shopping carts. So we've really have drafted an ordinance that has really three goals. One is we make it illegal to be in possession of a shopping cart off premises of that retailer's property and allows our police department to basically immediately impound that shopping cart. We don't have to give you a 3-day notice. And then, but even just as important is to make it more difficult for shopping carts to leave property in the first place, some kind of a prevention program.
Yeah, not to plug one business over another, but I'm going to. Safeway. They're shopping carts. They've got the little electronic strip thing on the edges of the parking lot. You cross it, the wheels lock up.
Yeah.
guess who doesn't have an issue with their shopping carts being taken?
Probably Safeway doesn't
pretty
have as much
simple,
as others.
Pretty simple, straightforward, yeah. So I would think that now those are probably going to be more expensive initial investments. Okay, I understand that. But I think that technology does exist. Is that something you can require? Or are you just, is this a more of an encouragement counseling thing?
Well, no, there's a little more than encouragement counseling. We're asking those businesses that have more than 25 shopping carts, and you know, typically either you have carts or you don't, that they have to come up with a plan on how they're going to prevent loss of shopping carts. The Safeway, that's a good, that's one thing that can be done. There's other parts of the country where, you know, where you've got to pay a deposit as a customer, and then when you return the cart, you get it comes back. So
really?
It's more, yeah, it's either where you put in your 50 cents or a dollar, or you swipe a card and it gets credited back. So that's
boy,
one
that
teed
me off. Well, I got to spend money to spend money with you.
Well, as long as you get it back, right? As soon as you return the cart. So
I guess.
So that's a possibility. But
interesting. So it doesn't. But it does, so it doesn't have to be a cost. But there is still an upfront cost.
An upfront cost for that 30 minutes you're parking that or shopping, and then you
I think for the merchant.
Oh yeah, for the merchant.
300 carts to retrofit. What does it cost? Does anybody have any idea?
You know, and that's why we're putting this ordinance out to the retailers before it comes to the council. Yeah, tell us where the fatal flaws are on this. You know, what have you found corporately that's worked in maybe other locations? Because certainly what we're seeing now, I mean, we're hearing of companies that they're losing a lot of dollars each month in shopping carts that wander off.
Well, then haven't some courts defined that as a home?
That could be
after
a
period of time, because it has been utilized for that length.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, you think of low tide municipal bay, you think there's going to be a couple shopping carts and a couple tires. Somebody's going to find that low tide because that's where some of these things end up. So it'll be interesting to see how that is met with by the community.
Right. Certainly want to make sure that we have an ordinance that's met any kind of constitutional challenges in the past. And then the final piece of that is a retrieval system. We want to make sure that retailers take some responsibility for retrieving carts that have left their property. But certainly if we can cut down all on the front end, the retrieval piece shouldn't be that big.
The retrieval component of it. Now, is that they have to go on the hunt? Or if it's like across the street in an empty lot, come on, have somebody go over there.
It's more so that if they're when they're notified that, two X company carts are over at the corner such and such, and make them responsible for getting and
have
then
them
if,
pick it up rather than
but
the
if
city
the city staff. Does, in a sense, we would charge for that.
More than 50 cents a cart?
Yes, more than 50 cents a cart.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:42. We'll be back with more with Greg Sparks.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:46. Happy 4th of July, everybody. Gratuitous, don't be stupid with fireworks and flame. Okay. You're here, Greg. Ken isn't. This is kind of like his season. So I felt a little obligated, particularly since you put it to him so early in the show.
Well, we you see it every year in some community where not everybody is smart with fireworks and fires are started and people are injured. So the more people use those responsibly, makes for a better Fourth.
Yeah, and probably firing them across streets at neighbors isn't a celebrated activity either.
No, I would probably not like that. If one of my neighbors across the street was to do that to me.
I could appreciate that too. This ordinance, if somebody wants to see it, is this it seems like, I don't know, did this one come from Andy? Or this one come from you? I mean, this is cool.
You know, this it was really a discussion item with the council. I certainly think Andy was, Chief Mills was very supportive of it. The chiefs reviewed it. And at this point, it's still in a draft stage. We want to get that feedback from the large retailers, but we're anticipating this going to council in August.
This isn't new. This is being plagiarized from somebody.
Oh yeah.
This is so cool.
You try not to reinvent the wheel on things like this.
So small towns, large towns, communities of all sizes have something akin to this?
You know, I think is particularly some of the coastal communities that have had to deal with this kind of problem before, you try to learn from other communities.
That would be the traveling road show, right?
That's right.
Yeah, or retreats. Was there anything that really came out of the retreat last month that kind of got your attention or got your fire going?
You know, we use the same facilitator for this retreat as had been used the year before, Lyle Sumac. And Lyle's been doing this kind of work for 30-some years. I kind of knew Lyle by reputation and never worked with him before. But he did a great job of keeping council and staff focused on the big issues, not letting us go down too many rabbit holes, so to speak.
It's not L Street, it's the streets.
Yes.
Yeah.
And exactly. We really tried to build upon what the council had done the previous year. So it's not like we threw that all out and start over again. So, I mean, there's some key things in there in terms of making Eureka, in a sense, a better, more livable community, jobs, economic development. That's a priority. Dealing with community public safety issues. That is a big priority for our city council and the community.
Is it a problem? I mean, you keep hearing that. Everybody feels uncomfortable when something goofy happens in their neighborhood or somebody walks by that is out of character of others in the neighborhood. Okay, we get that. There are certain areas, though, that do have a higher frequency of activity.
Yes.
Do you do a blanket across the whole town when you're talking about a situation? All streets instead of picking one street? Do you do that with public safety and other things also saying this neighborhood, or is it seen citywide when you're doing this kind of discussion?
Yeah, I think you certainly talk about it citywide and start from that broader perspective, but as the chief and the police department have gone out and done neighborhood meetings, there's certainly neighborhoods that have higher crime rates than other neighborhoods, and it will help bring people out that have more of those concerns. But it's one of those issues that, for many people, perception is a reality, and you try to deal both with those, separate perceptions and realities. I feel pretty safe in my neighborhood in terms of going out for a walk at night. I'm sure there's residents in other neighborhoods that don't feel the same way. And so, we need to address that from a community standpoint.
Thanks for coming by.
Okay, thank you.
Don't burn the place down. We've been talking shop this afternoon with Greg Sparks. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Have someone here.